Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
Good evening and welcome to the UW Marathon County Center for Civic Engagement Theater and the debate between the two candidates for mayor of Wausau, incumbent Jim Tipple and Alderman Ed Gale. Tonight's debate is co-sponsored by Wisconsin Public Radio, the Wausau Daily Herald, and the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our panelists tonight are Robert Menser, Community Conversations Editor of the Wausau Daily Herald, Mary Radke, Project Manager of the Marathon County Life Committee Report, and former Vice President of Strategy of the Girl Scouts of Northwestern Great Lakes. Also, Pete Velisca, President of the Wausau West Side Business Association and Vice President of Benefit Concepts of Wausau. Ying Li Zhang, Secretary of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association Board of Directors and Vice President of Zhang Jinsing Incorporated. And John Prey, a member of the Wausau Area Social Justice Group, NAOMI, which stands for North Central Area Congregations Organized to Make an Impact. John was also the City of Wausau's first Community Development Director back in the 70s. We'd like to thank Eric Giordano and Connie Nicolai of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, Mike Beck, the publisher of the Wausau Daily Herald, and Rick Ryer, Jane Ritger, and Crystal Bennis of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks also to UW Marathon County and its Dean, Keith Montgomery, and our technical supervisor, Chris Berg. The first question comes from Robert Menser of the Wausau Daily Herald.
Well, I'd like to ask about priorities. What do each of you see as your top three goals or priorities for the city over the next 4 years, and how do you intend to accomplish them?
In the next 4 years, I have three priorities. The top priority for me and for the city of Wausau is jobs, jobs, jobs. We've got a good start on this with collaborative consulting. In the next 3 years, the company that we attracted to Wausau will add 200 jobs to the Wausau economy. These are high-paying IT jobs or technical jobs, and we're looking forward to them increasing our workforce. Obviously, we got to take care of the job that we have in the community, and when employers lay off or cut back, we need to be sensitive to that and work with them to get them back on their feet. The second priority that I have for the city of Wausau is to grow our tax base through responsible economic development. Only that is the only way we can keep our high level of services that our taxpayers demand, and that's what we must do. And the last thing is hold line on the taxes. For the city of Wausau, with people out of jobs and everything, we need to make sure that we have high-quality services and hold the line on taxes. And this year, we had a zero-based tax increase, and most of the tax bills went down. So those are my three priorities: jobs, economic development, and hold the line on taxes.
And Ed Gale, you have a minute.
My three priorities are very simple. We need to get control of our budget. We need to understand what our budget's doing, and we need to set up quantitative goals and objectives for our department heads as well as the council and the mayor's office. This can be done by the mayor first putting together a work plan that he takes to the council, and the council and the mayor prioritize those objectives and goals, and from there you begin to contain the costs of doing business, and you also work on containing the need for income. This hasn't been done for some time. We have no vision. We have no strategic plan. We have nothing in place, and the council needs to get together and do that. And at the same time you do that, we need to engage all of the communities around us, all the townships, and we need to talk about boundaries and how we interwork together.
And Rob Menser, do you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, I'd like to hear some specifics on how to get together and further some of those cooperative efforts.
And gentlemen, you have 2 minutes. Whoever wants to go first, this is a free-form rebuttal portion.
The way you do it is you sit down and you work with them. You know, we are members of the MPO, and 2 years ago, the MPO awarded us the entire allotment for a year for a project that we were at least 8 years out on. And when I suggested that we return it, there was great opposition from my opponent about returning it. We needed to return it because it wasn't next. And we were going to take $2 million, hold on to it, and delay everybody else's projects. That doesn't foster good relationships.
Let's let Jim Tipple get a word in here.
My opponent on the charge of the MPO and giving the money back, I think he doesn't realize that I sit on the MPO committee, and one of the things that we worked out with Brad Marquardt, our utilities director and also our DPW director, was to definitely return the money back and get Highway 51 and Highway U money appropriated, and so we did. I think the whole key to, you know, holding the line on expenses with decreasing revenues is more collaboration. We do a good job and have in the past collaborating with our partners in the municipal arena and also in the county, and we need to look for different options in that area.
And the next question comes from Mary Radke of the Life Committee. Mary?
Thank you. The Life Report identified five calls to action for this region. The first addressed unemployment and jobs providing a living wage. How can Wausau make progress on this issue in the next 4 years? And what would be your approach in dealing with unemployment in Wausau and providing new jobs?
And we'll start with Ed Gale. You have 1 minute. And then Jim Tipple, you have 1 minute.
One of the ways that we can approach this is to start working with specific businesses and finding out what the city needs to do to increase its infrastructure. The other thing we need to do is work with our local businesses and have them identify to us those businesses that will complement the work they do that we bring in, and we can target those. Right now, we take a shotgun effect. We go after anything and everything, and we need to take time and start figuring out how to bring businesses in, because when the housing fell apart, our jobs fell apart because we have lots of window companies. So we need to find other industries we can bring in. We have a business park, and we have an incubator that does a great job. But the incubator has been not focused necessarily in some of the areas it could. We should consider a high-tech park and a high-tech incubator. And we have the opportunity to do that, and we can pair up and school work with the NTC on that issue.
And Jim Tipple, you've got a minute.
Unemployment obviously is a concern. We've made some improvements locally on unemployment, but we've got workforce development that we partner up with the state where we can retrain workers. With the recent layoff at Wausau Papers and SNE, we're very in tune to getting those people back in the workforce and train them in new vocations that they may be interested in. We had a gentleman who came to the Plan Commission a week ago. He was a displaced worker at Wausau Papers, and he is opening up his business in the city of Wausau, and he had 10 years till retirement, and we're really kind of excited. And he came up with that on his own because cooking was his love, and he really wanted to get involved in that. We also have an entrepreneurial center out in the industrial park, which Mr. Romy Wagner spearheads. We've had two classes there to teach prospective businesses on how to grow their job and start a new job, and it really works out well.
We'll move on to the next question from Pete Velisca of the Wausau West Side Business Association. Pete?
My question is going to center on the size of the city budget as it compares to other like-size municipalities. Wausau city budget is about $76.9 million. We have a population of 39,106 based on the last census. We have a square mileage area of about 17.8 square miles. Comparable cities to that, as close as I can find, Sheboygan, having a budget of $55.9 million, population of just over 49,000, and about 14.1 square miles. And La Crosse having a budget of $72.7 million, and a population just over 51,000 with 22.2 square miles. What can be done to bring Wausau's budget in line with these comparable size municipalities?
And for this round, we'll start with Mayor Tipple. You have 1 minute, and then Ed Gale, you have 1 minute.
It's also very dangerous to compare other cities without looking at the services they provide. Wausau has 24/7 services on police and fire, and it also depends on what's on the tax levy. The tax levy in the city of Wausau, we have the stormwater component, which is almost $750,000 on our tax levy. Other communities like Weston have that off their tax levy. Our garbage services are on the tax levy. Village of Weston has their tax levy, or the garbage off the tax levy. And so when you compare Like communities, you got to look at the services they provide, and then you can get a closer comparison and more accurate comparison. The city of Wausau values not only their education component, the county services, and also the city services like police and fire. And so a lot of departments are volunteers, and we need to take a look at comparing like communities with like communities.
And Ed Gale, you have a minute.
Well, my opponent is, I believe, correct on the aspect that when you take Sheboygan or you take La Crosse, you have to find out what services they provide. You know, we have a full-service city. We provide the trash pickup. We provide 24-hour police work. We do all those things. However, it's been a long time since we've gone back and taken a look at whether we're using the highest and best technologies. We found this with the Sheriff's Department. When the Sheriff's Department was asking for additional deputies a few years ago, we found out that we're using an old system of per capita instead of looking at technology and response time. It's time for us to do those internal studies. We have people who are going through management classes, who are getting advanced degrees in those departments, who are qualified to perform those. So we need to take a look at that. It's time to set back and look at every actual department and work through it one step at a time and find out what is and what isn't working and how it gets accomplished. That's one of the most difficult things to do, and we haven't done that in a very long time.
Pete Feliska, do you have a follow-up question?
I do. When I looked at these communities, Mayor Tipple, you had referenced Weston several times. I didn't look at Weston. I looked at comparable communities being Sheboygan and La Crosse. And I also looked at comparable services, you know, making sure that they had a transit system, making sure that the sewer and water was part of their budget. When you look at like communities like these, when is the last time Wausau has compared their budget items and their departments against other like communities like this?
And gentlemen, it's the two of you responding to Pete's follow-up.
We constantly compare ourselves to other communities, and our budget finance director looks at it on a regular basis, and we have discussions periodically throughout the year on how we can get more efficient. When I took office, we had 324 employees, full-time employees, and today we have 300. Are we doing less services for our residents? Absolutely not. But we continue to look when we have people leave the workforce, retire. We continue to split up those duties, and if we can avoid adding or replacing that employee, we certainly do. But we do compare ourselves all the time, not only with local communities, the way it may be dissimilar, but we also look at other communities. Manitowoc, for instance, to balance their budget this year, laid off over 50 employees. I think the number was 57. Six firemen, four policemen, and that's just a travesty. I'm not willing to sacrifice protective services to balance a budget.
Actually, the last time we did it was in 2002 when we took on the Renew Wisconsin program that Governor Scott McCallum started. And we chose the Wausau and Marathon County Park Department. We went from top to bottom. We started on every issue. We looked at how much office supplies they used. We looked at the amount of fuel used, what vehicles could be changed out to save fuel. We went from using both gas and diesel tools, power tools and things, to straight diesel, because if you're only buying one fuel, it's cheaper because you get a better discount. We haven't done it. We, as my opponent just said, what we do is if somebody leaves, we just decide we're not going to fill his position. We have not done a top to bottom of any department since then. And there has been difficulty in trying to get that done. And one of the challenges is when you sit down to do it, how do you justify if you decide you're going to remove a police officer? How do you justify some of the things for medical services? So it becomes an issue that you have to have the courage to do it. You have to have the ability to do it. And we have people that are capable. We just don't do it.
Well, once again, my opponent is incorrect on that. We look at every department for efficiencies, and we have combined different department responsibilities. In the inspections department, we used to have one full-time person, and in the engineering department, this is clerical support, we had one person. That person left, and that person now is job-sharing between the two departments, half in inspections, half in in engineering, and we constantly do that. I charge the staff in our staff meetings on a monthly basis to look for efficiencies, and we always talk about how we can save money for the community.
That's not accurate. I mean, the reality is we just simply make a decision. That's what we're going to do. Nobody sits down and puts together a cost analysis of what they're doing. Nobody sits down and says, is this better used by job sharing or is it better used by having the person here? The only people that get that opportunity have been the police department and the fire because of they're non-touchable. And you can't do that. You need to take a look at from top to bottom. You know, why aren't we having, like many communities have done, having a public safety director that eliminates one chief? That's $100,000 right there. Can we do it? I don't know, but it's never been fully valued or looked at, and those are the techniques we need to do. We continue to sacrifice people, and we continue to sacrifice opportunities because we don't sit down and legitimately go through. And we're past time to do that. We need to sit down with each department and have them justify what they do. We have departments when they're told to cut 5% that turn in a 3% increase, and other departments have to make the cuts. I understand it's difficult, but if they're told to cut 5%, they need to demonstrate that 5%, and then the council and needs to make a decision on what services they're willing to exchange or not to exchange. The council needs to be involved in that, not the department heads.
We're going to move on to the next question from Ying Li Zhang of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. Ying?
Thank you. My next question is about your performance. What is your leadership and management style, hands-off or hands-on? And how would this style of management benefit the citizens and taxpayers?
And with this one, we start with Ed Gale and then Jim Tipple. You each have a minute.
Well, the paper got it right for a change. I'm not a cheerleader. I'm down and dirty. I get involved. I ask questions. I ask people to demonstrate to me what they're doing, what they're not doing. Recently, we had a project at the wastewater facility. There were some upcharges. There were some change orders. And I sat down with the director of that group and said, what caused these changes? Some of them were unexpected. Some were anticipated potentially as changes that might happen once we got in and saw the equipment. And then some were convenience changes that saved us money long term that nobody had thought about because when they initially looked at it, that technology wasn't available and it had changed. So we need to have somebody that's not a cheerleader, we need somebody that has a responsibility to pay attention to the day-to-day operation. If you look at the job of the mayor by our ordinance, it isn't cheerleader, it's coordination of the staff and managing the budget. And that's exactly what I intend to do.
My management style has always been collaborative and participatory in private industry and also in public service. By that I mean we've got an excellent, outstanding management staff at the city of Wausau, and I challenge them to do the best job possible and have them reach and grow our city of Wausau. My management style is not micromanaging the process like I think my opponent would like to do. I don't think that's a good way of getting the best out of your staff. I think you need to challenge them and take the city to new levels. And it's in the record. I've been very, very successful in a lot of the problems and programs that we've solved together over the last 8 years.
And Ying, do you have a follow-up question? Either of you have anything to add to that?
Yes, I'd like to.
You know, if you want to look at the hands-on or hands-off style, ask yourself this. How's Congress doing? How's the state doing? That's hands off. That's people who don't know what's going on. That's people who aren't asking questions. We need, at this level, people to trust that we are paying attention to the dollars that you give us, where they're going, and how they're being spent. By asking the question doesn't hurt. We spend a lot of time praising our staff, and they're very good at what they do. But the problem is, as we continue to praise them, they only reach for those levels. They don't exceed those levels. They don't have a need to do that unless they have the personal drive. And we need to set goals and objectives for them that are quantitative. There are things that you and I can look at them and say, you either did it or you didn't. We need to look at the police department, and these numbers aren't correct, so don't hold me to them. But we need to look at the police department and say, reduce your overtime by 20%. How do you do that? What does it take to do that? We don't do that. We haven't got any of those goals. And we need to start doing that because it's your money we're spending.
Mayor Tipple, you can add to that if you'd like.
Well, we look at overtime figures every single month and every single year. And in the police department, we just ratified a contract on the city side. The police, I believe, will do it this week, where we're going to 12-hour shifts, and that will drastically reduce overtime in the police department. The same thing in the fire department. I'm very concerned with the sick leave in that department, and so I instituted a policy that instead of having 17 workers on staff, we will go down to 14 until we have full-time workers, and so and to come to work with sick leave and vacations and so on and so forth. And so what really has happened, and I have a chart there they give me every single month of the dollars we've saved in overtime. And so we've been proactive on the overtime budget for both police and fire, and we have looked at comp time for employees, and we are reducing that liability from the city standpoint. And so we are being proactive on not only overtime but comp time so we can manage our costs not only now but in the future.
The next question comes from John Prey of the Social Justice Group, Naomi. John?
Mr. Gale, Mayor Tipple, the recession still has a grip on many of our citizens who are struggling to meet basic needs, food, clothing, adequate housing, transportation, health care, and jobs that pay a livable wage. What, if any, do you see the city playing a role in meeting the basic needs of those people?
You know, one of the things that, you know, we as a city have as a goal, and it's not our only goal, but it has been, you know, having affordable housing in our community. That's a good start. A lot of communities struggle on affordable housing. We've had recently job fairs in our community, whether it would be West Business Services. I know the Senator Duffy, Congressman Duffy, is having a couple job fairs coming up, one for tailored for veterans, one for the rest of the population. There's been quite a few job fairs in the area, and workforce development plays a big part in training workers that are unemployed that really want to get back into the workforce, and so we encourage and steer people toward that. Livable wages are very, very difficult. We encourage employers to pay the living wage if they can possibly do that. And getting back to transportation, the city of Wausau has a transportation company. Our surrounding communities decided not to renew their contracts with the city of Wausau, and that's a big problem for people that can't get to work, and bus is their only economical transportation afforded to them.
And Ed Gale?
The challenge is housing is spread out throughout the city of Wausau, for the most part, low income. We continue to attract that, which damages some of our renters and some of our home or our apartment owners. We need to develop a housing plan, not only for the city of Wausau, but for the entire metro area. And when somebody comes to the city, if we've already hit our target, maybe we should get them over to Weston, because they're only paying on these tax credits, they're only paying a third of the taxes. That's not a terrible loss, but there are jobs in Wausau or in Weston. Maybe they need affordable housing over there to help them grow, too. We can no longer afford to say it has to be in Wausau. We have to become a cooperative and a collaborative working team with our units around us. And, yes, we do have a bus system, and we've worked very hard on that bus system. But my opponent was conspicuously absent during all the negotiations that went on trying to save it this last year. And that was noted by the press, that he was conspicuously absent. And frankly, Ken Fable from Schofield did a yeoman's job fighting that battle, and so were some comments directed at my attention that we did that together. We have a responsibility to be open and honest with our neighbors and help them too.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We now continue our special Route 51 broadcast of the Wausau Mayoral Debate, sponsored by Wisconsin Public Radio, the Wausau Daily Herald, and the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Our first question for this segment comes from Robert Mentzer of the Wausau Daily Herald.
He has is well known because he has a Twitter feed that he uses to interact with constituents for everything from a broken street lights to my street didn't get plowed today to other issues that face the city. Now, maybe that's not exactly the approach that would engage the most people in Wausau, but what creative ways would you, if you're elected, use to reach out and engage with the public that you aren't doing now?
And for this question, we start with Alderman Gale. You have a minute, and then Mayor Tiffel.
Well, Rob, thank you. That's a great question. A couple of years ago, when we were doing a road project on Kent Street, it came to my attention that we had sent out a letter that said sometime within the next 4 weeks, we're going to show up and tear up your street. And some folks left, came back, couldn't get in their homes. So we started reviewing that at the Capital Improvements and Street Maintenance Committee. And we established a process where we could start sending direct emails to large companies like Nationwide and to Liberty Mutual and to the hospital and to other larger employers, telling them, A, when we have a snow emergency, B, if we're going to be tearing up a street, reminding them and getting closer to the dates for them. We also reviewed every aspect of our communication within the community, and we worked at correcting the things that were brought to our attention. And now we spend a little bit of time. We're a couple of days before we anticipate being there. We have somebody go door to door and make one more attempt to contact you and let you know we're going to tear up your street in the next 2 days. That's something we can do, and that's only the beginning. The computer, if it's used properly, will get us a long way.
And Mayor Tipple, you have a minute.
Yes, I think, you know, we have an internet site for the city of Wausau. We did that about a year ago. People still have the ability to go in and submit a question and get an answer. I get those on a daily basis. If there is something that my department can answer directly, we do that, or we'll spin them off to the other departments. And so that's one media that we have. One of the things I thought was would be a good idea, and we do this on a regular basis, but I think we need to do it more, is to do more press releases or to connect with the public a whole lot better. I think, you know, we suggested a media director for the city of Wausau because I think we need to get more information out to the taxpayers. They have questions. Obviously, they can't always show up at our meetings, but we post our meetings online, the notes. We do video or do our council meetings, and those are live every 2 weeks. And so we're trying to get more information out to the taxpayers, but we really need to do a better job to make that happen.
And let's move on to the next question from Mary Radke of the Life Committee. Mary?
Another one of the calls to action in the Life Report was abuse of alcohol and drugs. And the city has recently taken some steps to deal with this issue. What new policies should the city enact to address alcohol and drug abuse?
And we go first to Mayor Tipple and then to Alderman Gale.
Recently, the city took the lead in the entire metro area to focus on underage drinking. We came up with a program where a resolution and enacted that. And basically what happened is parents or anybody that has a facility that encourages underage drinking, they can get a fine from $1,000 to $5,000, I believe. That's a start. But we have a culture that does promote drinking, and one of the things that we need to do as citizens, as government leaders, is to work together. We have a coalition in town that's been very, very successful in picking out key issues and getting the community to engage and react to them. And I think that's been very, very successful. But it's going to be a long process to turn that around so we can have a community that is responsible in their alcohol consumption.
Ed Gale.
Over the past 10 years, our public health and safety committee has done a very good job at trying to address these issues. We've had issues with taverns, and 10 years ago, we put together a new tavern ordinance that went before the Marathon County Tavern League. They endorsed it. They supported it. They were good business people. That held on for a while. We used it to our advantage, and then we've had to toughen it up because some of the people have changed. And Lisa Rasmussen has done a very good job in that aspect. That same committee took on the issue of no smoking and moved it forward. You heard tonight we took on hosting parties. They moved it forward. There are a lot of those issues that have to be done, but one of the things we need to do is we need to make sure that we, the city leaders, also set a proper example. That means we need to think about where we're at and what we're doing and where we're seen at and what we're seen doing. You know, if you're telling somebody they're not supposed to drink and you're in a tavern or you're walking around and not behaving, that sets the wrong example, and we need to take care of that, too.
So we'll move on to the next question from Pete Velisk of the Wausau Westside Business Association. Pete?
My next question is, what is your position on allowing department heads to negotiate and sign contracts for services without city council approval? An example would be the crossing guard contract from last year, which actually resulted in an increased cost to taxpayers.
And we go to Ed Gale for a minute and then Jim Tipple for a minute.
My record speaks for itself. I immediately, when it was brought to my attention by other members of the council, looked into it, found out that it had not been done properly. I asked some questions, and as soon as I knew that we were paying more, then we started asking more questions. I asked for a cost analysis. We didn't get a cost analysis. Nobody could really tell us what they based their decision on, other than, well, Lieutenant Blevins' time is 10%. Oh, wait a minute, not 15. No, nope, it's 20. And oh, by the way, we're paying this extra money on, liability insurance, or we're paying this extra workman's comp. When we asked to see those numbers, nobody could demonstrate them. You can't do that. If you have a problem, you need to tell the council. Public health and safety was not aware there was an issue. The police and fire commission was not aware there was an issue. The HR committee was not aware there was an issue, and neither was the finance committee aware there was an issue. So all of a sudden, we have a contract that's in place, and we have nothing to say about it. And frankly, the council took up that issue as politely as they could and resolved it.
Mayor Tipple?
The question was, you know, what's the latitude for department heads? The crossing guard contract was executed following current policies and procedures, and they did nothing wrong. They wanted to get the contract before school started, and so they were fast-forwarding it. And when that happened, they could have taken the extra step, but they decided not to. In retrospect, and looking back at it, they probably should have. But there was nothing legally wrong that they did. It was an executable contract, and everything was fine. Since then, because it caused a firestorm, we have changed the procurement policy, and so anything over $5,000, I believe, needs to go through all committees. And that's fine. I think that's a step in the right direction. The procurement policy was written to be general so that not everything had to go through committee, but we've changed that, so now everything will go through committee. And so, hey, it was a lesson learned.
Let's go to Ying Li Zhang with the next question from the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. Ying?
Okay. My next question is, do either of you have ideas or plans for improving and revitalizing the inner city residential neighborhoods, especially just to the east of downtown and just to the west of the river?
And for this one, we're going to start with Mayor Tipple and then go to Alderman Gale.
We have a couple of plans that we've had research done on. The most recent one that we want to implement is on the west side of the river, which we want to institute a TIF district, TIF number 8. In that district, it goes from Stewart to Bridge to 1st to 4th, I believe. And in that area, there's a lot of blight that we want to address. We'd also like to encourage development on the west side of the river, and we have a couple projects that we're looking at to implement and bring them forth. And so on the west side of the river, we are getting a plan together. We had a study done in 2007. We waited until something happened, and nothing energized the west side of town. And so what we wanted to do is have some financing available, which the TIF district will do for it. And that's where we stand on that. On the east side of the river, we have established a neighborhood association. We've engaged some foundations, and we're coming up working with a 10-year plan to come up with a plan from Grant, or from basically Franklin, to Forest and Grant, or 6th to 10th. So we're looking at revitalizing that area because it's a high rental area.
Alderman Gale?
We have missed a number of opportunities. While we did this plan on the west side of the river, we didn't bother to take a look at the plan the county did in involving this university and their long-term plans and goals over the next 25 years. And I've had difficulty getting staff to look at that. And it's available to them. We've had it shipped to them. I hope and I believe in the very near future we will get that done. I would agree with the mayor on the aspect that the TIF 8 certainly will provide some stimulation and will certainly provide the opportunity for some growth here. But, again, you keep taking small segments. You need to take the entire city, take a look at it, and divide it up in segments, and work on segments simultaneously when you can. We've missed a great opportunity. We have end-to-end that started just as Linda Lawrence, Mayor Lawrence, was leaving, and Mr. Tipple has continued that. But all they do is cleanups. They're way past that ability. We have leaders there that can move us forward and help us design and build programs that will get us into the program of reclaiming blocks at a time, just like they've done in Harlem and just like they've done in Philadelphia.
And our final panelist question comes from John Prey of the social justice group Naomi. John?
Yes. My final question has two parts to it. First of all, what value do you see in Wausau's mayor taking a leadership role in bringing the surrounding communities together to address the public transportation issue? And secondly, why hasn't there been more cooperation with our neighbors on this and other issues and services to this point?
And with this one, we start with Ed Gale and then go to Jim Tipple.
Well, first of all, the role of the mayor is to meet with other officials and talk with them and identify issues and then start identifying how we can formulate working together. We don't do a good job of that. I agree. And it's not necessarily my opponent's fault. There are a lot of challenges when you deal with this. Some of the ways is there is really no trust between us, some of the different groups. One of the ways we could do it would be to generate a government co-op where we would purchase cement, we could purchase fuel, we could purchase asphalt, we could purchase office supplies. A community could jump in, jump out as they need to year by year, and you would develop that trust. And as you begin to develop that trust, they will open up those opportunities to speak to each other. That we sometimes get ourselves segregated in these silos, and we just don't do it. But the role of the mayor is to talk with those other officials, and we don't do that.
Mayor Tipple?
Well, I'd just like to, get everybody on the same page. You know, one of the things that I have done over the past 8 years is to engage municipal leaders. We did the along with the help of past city attorney Mr. Nagel, we put together a Weston Aerial Agreement. That was a 6-year agreement. Those are very difficult to do, and we shared an aerial truck with them, and for 6 years it was a great agreement. They terminated that agreement, but all along we were knowing that if the agreement ended, we would need to buy our own aerial. If we would have bought an aerial back in 2000, it would have been $1 million. What happened is we received a grant for $720,000 from the federal government, and so the city, and that saved the city taxpayers $720,000, and the city only had to pay $243,000 for that truck. We've had municipal agreements with other communities economically, and we took water to Brokaw, which was unusual, which my opponent mentioned earlier, is we don't do a lot of that. And so that's just the start of some of the things we've done in the past.
John Prady, you have a follow-up.
Just one follow-up. Where do you see the next big opportunity for the surrounding communities to cooperate with the focus on saving major dollars?
And if I could add something to this, John, your initial question spoke to the
bus issue and the public transportation issue. Is there anything you gentlemen could do to convince the people in the southern part of the metropolitan area to get involved with the public transportation or the bus system once again? And this is an open discussion period.
Well, I think, you know, the southern municipalities that had bus service are so intertwined. If one cancel it, the other one's route is impaired. And so we need to get all three communities together, and we have talked to them. When I put the Weston bus service together 5 or 6 years ago, it took two meetings, and they engaged. I think for bus service to be a reality, I think some of the businesses in the area, which Weston, Village of Weston did, they put had businesses share in the cost for up to 3 years. That's an excellent idea. But the most opportune option would be the police with Everest Metro and Wausau. We tried that about 3 years ago. We were very, very close, almost happened, and then some parochialism got in the way.
Ed Gale?
The reality is everybody's budgets are tight. It's very difficult to do. One of the things that we could do would be to try to create a rapid transit district, an RTA, where everybody shares with that. They have their own board. They focus on, that's the one issue they focus on, is providing services. They work very hard. The state has had some difficulties with those, and that's an issue that we need to go back to the state. We need to go to Mr. Petrowski and Ms. Seidel and several of those other folks and say, we need your help. We need to get this done.
We're going to move on to audience questions. And the first question, actually we have two of them on this subject, and again it deals with intergovernmental cooperation. Several of the challenger candidates for the Wausau City Council have filed an open records request seeking documents pertaining to why the city and county human resources merger was killed. Maybe we can save everyone some time if you just tell us now, why did the deal fall apart? Is there any chance it could be revived? And the last part of one of these questions touches on what we've been talking about already with, is there any hope for future mergers of similar functioning departments in the future? Mayor Tiffel, we'll start with you and then Ed Gale.
Well, in the 80s, we had a combined city-county HR department, and that was disbanded for a number of varied reasons. When we looked at this agreement, there were no immediate cost savings, either short-term or long-term. When we started to put some details into the contract, that failed because at that time it was either too late and they didn't want to add the details, but we were paying over the county was paying over $1 million more for health insurance than the county or the city was. When the county rejected the clarifying agreement, that was really the end of the negotiations. In subsequent research that we've done, the way we have done stuff, the premiums I mentioned, the impact on the cost of living increases, the way the county did it in the city, we saved $450,000 for the taxpayers. And then when we went to the long-term disability and post-health insurance payments, we saved $230,000 annually for the city of, taxpayer.
Ed Gale?
The reality is it failed because the mayor didn't do his job. There's no other way to say that. 18 months we worked on this. 18 months we asked for every conceivable issue. The mayor never brought an issue forward. The mayor never said anything. We passed it in March. In June, we're told there's a problem. Now we're doing a clarifying agreement, even though for 4 months the chair and many members of that committee asked what was going on. We had provisions in the contract that prohibited the county from dictating our contract negotiations for health care, and they could not dictate to us the contract negotiations for our workers. So when you said that their cost of living would have cost us $400,000 more, that's not accurate. We didn't have to do that. It was simply the servicing of issues, and if you talk to council members, it's a matter of record. It's not a matter of me pretending up here. The other aspect, very quickly, and I realize I need to shut up,
I'll tell you what, let's just open it up at this point to another 2 minutes of discussion between the two of you on this subject.
The reality is we didn't even know the mayor was not making an honest effort talking with the county until June when the county sent us a letter and said, we need you to tell us what you're going to do. And then when this continued on, I was told one story, and other people were told others. But the reality is we had protected the community. We had protected ourselves, and we had the opportunity. Is there an opportunity to go back with the county? I'm not sure.
Mayor Tipple, do you have a response?
The council directed me to work out the details in the contract with the clarifying agreement. That's exactly what I was doing. And coming from private industry, which I had 35 years of experience, one of the things I learned is if you don't have details, and many people have always said the devil's in the details, there were no details in this contract that I was comfortable with, and I was executing the wishes of the council. As far as, you know, collaboration and other agreements, we do a lot of things with the county, and I don't think the ship has sailed from that standpoint. We collaborate on hiring software. We do advertising with the council or with the county. We do EAP work, employee assessment program. We do a lot of things with the county, and they're one of our best partners. One of the things that I took a lot of heat from over 2 years ago, and I can't believe we're still talking about this issue, is I didn't give any details in the contract or what was going on. And one of the reasons I wanted to do is I treasure our value with our relationship with the county. And so I didn't blow them away for a lot of reasons. And the reason, and that was smart reasoning, because today we have all those agreements that we're working with the county on, and we'll continue to work with the county and other municipalities to make that happen.
And we now come to the closing statements of the candidates. By a toss of the coin, Mayor Jim Tipple goes first and Alderman Ed Gale goes second. Jim?
First of all, I'd like to thank the Wisconsin Public Radio, WASA Daily Herald, and the Wisconsin Institute of Public Policy. I think that's their name. If I got that wrong, I apologize. For having this debate, it's a good idea to exchange ideas between the two candidates. I'm real pleased that we had this opportunity tonight, and I thank the audience for coming because they can learn more about the candidates. And I just want to say, you know, I'm proud of my record the last 8 years. I'm looking forward to another 4 years. And I think if we work together and get ideas like we exchanged today, we can be a stronger community in the future.
Ed Gale?
I also would like to thank the Wausau Daily Herald, Wausau Public Radio, and the panel members for taking time to come here to bring forward some thoughtful questions, and, of course, the audience who's here also listening to us. The reality is that we need to start moving past where we're at. We've been at a crossroad of stagnation for over 8 years. It's time to make Wausau a visionary city again. It's time for us to move forward, and it's time to do that by working together with other communities. We need to establish priorities for the city. We need to take a look very closely at our departments and do top to bottom reviews of them and know what we're getting for the money, and then establish quantitative result requirements, and then move forward and become visionary. Wausau for the past 8 years has not been visionary. You go back and look at 95 when I came here, there were Vision 2000 and several other projects, and we haven't done that. And we need to engage the citizens to do that. So thank you again for your time tonight.
A round of applause for our candidates, please, and our panel members. Thank you, Mayor Jim Tipple and Ed Gale, and our panelists, Robert Mentzer of the Wausau Daily Herald, Mary Ratke of the Life Committee Report, Pete Velisca of the Wausau Westside Business Association, Yingli Zhang of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association, and John Prey of NAOMI. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to all of you here at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater. Give yourselves a round of applause. You've been a great audience. And don't forget to vote Tuesday, April 3rd, forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Good night, everybody.